Це що з нами навчитися?
You might ask why I chose to speak about tattoos. I thought it's a natural progression from the last cheer we gave when we spoke about the prohibition of using a razor. It's the same parsha, it's one pasuk next to it, and in fact, the Gemara handout you have in front of you is a recycled page from last month. So, in fact, if we connect the two, it's interesting how the Baal HaTzurim deals with electric shavers, sorry, not electric shavers, but razors. The Lo Sashchis, the phrase used, is don't destroy the hair, he says, is the same gematria, the same numerical value as Zehu Tar. This is a razor. The Lo Misparaim, and not scissors. All that makes the same gematria. And in Parshas Emor, where it says, Ufas Zekonom Lo Yigalechu, the corners of the beard may not be shaved, for us the konom is the same gematria as zubatar, with a blade. And then when it comes to the subject of tattoos, which is called ka'aka, as we will soon find, he says it's the same gematria as shame, a name, since the traditional way of doing tattoos was always with a name. Sefer Vayikra, chapter 19, verse 28. So I'll just read it out to you, because that's really our starting point. V'seret l'nefesh lo sitnu b'vsarchem, u'chesoves ka'ka lo sitnu b'ochem, ani Hashem. Now, v'seret l'nefesh is a wound on your body or on your soul you shall not put on your flesh, and a tattoo you shall not place in you. And Hashem writes there, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. And the Mefarshim explained that the dafka reason why it says there, Ani Hashem, is because the primary reason originally for tattoos was the shame of Avodah Zarah, for idolatrous purposes, where people used to actually tattoo in their skin the names of their idolatrous worship, whatever. And although the Rambam does specify in detail that this was the shame of Avodah Zarah, nevertheless, it's very clear from the Shonim that this applies, even when it's not for idolatrous purposes. I saw an interesting idea brought down from the Rabbeinu Bechaye, Kata Kemach, who says that when we do a bris milah, we are doing something which Hashem has told us to do, which might be called wounding the flesh. Wounding the flesh is prohibited, but only where Hashem gives us the command, namely with Bismillah, may we do it, or do we have to do it. Otherwise, we're not allowed to do it. And this lends into the subject of our bodies do not belong to us. There are other halachas as well, like post-mortems and so on, that the body does not belong to us. It's not for us to play around with it how we like, and therefore we are told not to do tattoos. So if we dive straight into the Mishnah, which you have in front of you, which is on Gemara Makos Daf Kaf Aleph, ignoring the margin notes, two lines, which I used last month, we're going into the Mishnah, which is in the centre of the page. Hakosev Kosoves Kaka, one who inscribes with a tattoo, Kosoves Kaka, which is the phrase used in the Pasuk, Kosav velo kaka, kaka velo kosav, if one only did one and not the other. If one did the writing but not the engraving with the needles, or one did engraving with needles without any writing, eino chayev ad shiichto ve kaka. One is not chayev midoraisa, chayev malchus, until one has done both actions, both the inscription and the engraving with the needles. The next word is meant to be read as bedayo. If one did it with ink, uva kachol, look in the margin, Masoras Hashas. Uva kachol, or with a dye, typically a dye used for around the eyes, like a mascara. Uva chol dovar shehu roshim, and anything which can create a mark, it is osur. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino chayav ad shiichtov shem. Sorry, ad shiichtov shom es hashem. He says that the liability is only when you write the shame, the name, Shenem, as it says, Kosoves Kaka lo sitnu b'ochem, ani Hashem, because it says in the Pasuk, I'm Hashem. We don't paskin like him, because he is of the view simply that it is the shame. But the Mefarshim would say, shame Avodah Zarah is meant here. And that is the Isur. And anything else might be Osur in our Torah, but will be called Potter Aval Osur. Potter Aval Osur means it's still prohibited min our Torah. If we jump ahead into the Rambam, the next page, Hilchas Averus Kechavim, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Aleph, which is also about halfway down the page, Ksoves Kaka Amura Batara, who Yisrat al Besoro, one engraves in one's flesh, Vimalei Mokem Hasrisa Kacharo Dayo, and one fills the place of the indenting with these kinds of dyes or inks, Oshed Sivonim Horoshimim, or any colouring for that matter, which leaves a mark. And this was the practice of idolatrous worship. They would put these idolatrous names or whatever on their skin. That they are dedicated, sold to that practice. It applies to any part of the body. Bein ish uvein isha, whether it's a man or a woman, loket, one is chayav malchus. Kosav la rosham betseva, if one did some writing without any proper marking, betseva with colouring, osherosham betseva velo kosav besrita, potter implies not allowed, potter avaloso. Ad shichto vikaka, until one does both actions. Shneam, as it says in the pasuk, kosav es kaka. Where does this apply? There are really two people involved in the practice. There might be the person upon whom it's being done and the person who is doing it. So they are both chayav if the person who is, on whom it's being done is helping or is acquiescing to the other one. But if a person was onus, like Nebuch, the concentration camp inmates, obviously there is no chiyuv there if a person did nothing.
That's what he's saying here. What he's saying here is that if you went to the tattoo shop and you were passive, you asked to be tattooed, but you were passive, since you weren't active, you're potter aval osur.
Is he really saying that? Go to the tattoo shop is not active?
That's why we're because of Zesha that he allowed to be written on his flesh, that Piak Ubo and others did it upon him. He's not chayav unless he assisted.
He's not assisting by going into the tattoo shop and stretching out his arm. There are a number of mafoshim who write about this, who say both parties are chayav min hatorah. The fact that if you're a concentration camp inmate and it's forced on you, or the halacha talks about a slave who has something put on him but is by his master that he's earmarked that he can't escape, he can't help it, he's honest.
A slave after 7 years?
Pardon?
He volunteers to have a deal.
Well, piercing is another subject, and this is not really the subject of piercing. That might be a subject for the next one. But there are some modern-day poskim who don't like the idea of things like ear piercing, but Moshe Feinstein says it's okay because it's the shame noi. It is not called wounding, it is done for the sake of appearance. So we won't go into that. I was expecting somebody to start asking me about rings in noses and things like that, but certainly a woman is doing the shame noi for earrings is okay. When it comes to sticking rings in your eyebrows, that must be more in the category of wounding, but let's not digress. As a background, there are two layers of skin. One is called the epidermis and one is called the dermis. And the epidermis has five layers in it, and the dermis underneath has two layers in it. So there are many layers of the skin. And the top parts of the skin change their cells very frequently, so they shed the dead skin and create new skin. And that's why, if one writes just on one's hand, it soon wears away because of the cells changing. So what tattooing does is go down deeply into the lower layers of the skin, and a permanent tattoo is down into the dermis. And that creates the permanence. Now, we're going to discuss this idea of permanence quite a bit, because Rashi writes in the Chumash that when one does a tattoo, it's la'olam. La'olam literally means forever. It's something which is permanent, which you might say is for life. But the question we're going to address is whether Rashi's la'olam means permanently, or perhaps just long term. We're going to discuss some other practical questions. For example, do you have to remove a tattoo if it's been placed on you? If a Baal Tshuva decides, someone who decides to take on himself the mitzvahs, and it's an embarrassment for him, has he got a chiyuv to remove it? Then there is a question of if he's got tattoos where he puts his tefillin on. And there are a couple of poskim who write about where he's actually got a tattoo of an undressed female on that place where the tefillin goes. Should he put the tefillin on the other arm instead? We'll discuss questions like that. Or simply, if one takes one's children into a theme park and they stick something on the kid's hand, like some stemple, to enable them to go outside and come back again, are these sorts of things allowed, which are temporary? So the question is even if somebody gives you a telephone number and you don't have your mobile phone and you haven't got a piece of paper, can you scribble it on your hand? You might say, oh, well, I'm not engraving with needles, but maybe you might suggest that it's Chatzi Shia, and Chatzi Shia is Asur Min HaTorah, that if the Torah forbids writing and is with the needles, maybe half is no good. Well, we'll come to that as well. Don't worry about that too much.
That's Rashi on the Mishnah you read.
Yeah, we're coming to that in the modern question. So Rashi and Ibn Ezra, they translate kasoves as the ink and the karka as the puncturing with the needles. But there's a machlokas Rishonim, because the Rambam, together with others, the Rosh, Tur, Chinuch, Targum Yonason, they have the opposite view, but in practice it doesn't really make a lot of difference to us. The Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying that the first act is the puncturing. And, well, nowadays it's really all done simultaneously with the machinery. There's no real difference, and the Ritva says it doesn't make a difference as far as the order is concerned. Now, according to the Pischei Teshuva, he brings down from the Shalat Shuvas Mal Tzedoka that the Issur of tattoos is only with letters, with writing, and not, say, with pictures or other marks. But that is a minority view, and there are others who will say, no, that's not the same. The Smak does say Ka'ein Osius, and the Me'il Tzedaka does say that there is a minimum shear, because what is the amount? He says just one letter. And the Sefer Achinuch says, even if it's only one letter, but the Ravad writes, and he's a Rishon, you don't need letters in order to transgress on this prohibition, and that is also the view of the Rosh Mishantz. He says, it's not an inyan of kasivas osius, it is a roshem. A roshem is a mark left behind. And if we look at the words of the Rambam which we just read, he makes no reference to the writing of letters. So it's clearly implied by the Rambam that he regards any form of tattoo as being osur. Yes. Similarly, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch you have on the next page, does not make any mention of writing letters. And Minchas Chinuch brings down in Simon Kumpei, he talks about Tzivonim Horoshimim, that colours which make a mark or a picture, and therefore there is no suggestion there that there could be anything that needs to be with letters. Now, the question is it right to say that one letter, if you do letters, is the minimum shear? In Hilchas Shabbos, the minimum shear is two letters to be Osur Min HaTorah. One letter is not Osur Min HaTorah. So do we make a comparison with Hilchas Shabbos and say it's Osur to write two letters, or do we say it's entirely different? The Sefer Achinuch says even one letter. And the Rambam says any recognizable mark. So really, it's not possible to easily compare the idea. And there is no real conclusion on this, other than the fact that if one is liable for letters, we know even a small amount is osur. And Rav Gestetner in the Malam, he brings a whole drasha on the subject to show that it could be anything. It could be any mark whatsoever. there is, we mentioned earlier the thing about the servant who has something put on him, and the remark in the Shulchan Aruch on the next page says lechatchila it is osur, implying that the Dieved one hasn't done an Isur Daraisa because it's not l'shem karka, it's not for the sake of karka. Yeah. Well, if you are putting it on the Eved Kanani, then you might be doing something wrong, even if he might not be. Yeah. Well, he's Chayav Mitzvahs like a woman.
But women have to do love.
If you look at the next page, you've got the Shulchan Aruch. We won't go through the whole lot. Kesoges Karka, it describes in Aleph what Karka is, and there it says nothing about letters. Which is what the Rambam was saying. And in base, it discusses if you do it on somebody else. Potur Elohim came Saya Bedovar. And then in Gimel it says, Mutzalitain Ofo Makla Makoso. If you've got some burnt ashes, which you want to put on a makka, on a wound, in order to cover up the wound, the Shulchan Aruch says it is okay. And then the business of the Eved is in Dalad Haroshim Atlavdo Shelo Yivrach, that you shouldn't run away, Potur, and the Ramah writes, V'nir Delechatchila Miha Osur. Now, there is an absence of discussion amongst the Rishonim about the minimum shear, and therefore the Minchas Chinuch says that we have to go strict. The question which also comes up is the one of permanence. When Rashi says la'olam, how permanent does permanent mean? Does it mean forever? So the Ritva writes, v'nireh kol hayomim, which implies one's whole life, and the Kolba writes, eino nimchak la'olam, which is, la'olam means forever. But even if we say that it's osu min ha-Torah when it's permanent, that it will be an issa d'rabbanon if it's not permanent. That's the thought which projects from Poskim. And the view about the ashes, although we've quoted it from the Shulchan Aruch as mutter, the review of Rav Adar Bar Rava in the Gemara in Makkos is that ash is not allowed because it appears like a tattoo. And then there's the subject of Maris Ayin. The Nimuke Yosef says that this tattoo is recognized the Zman Godol over a long period of time. So what is Zman Godol? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything about time. So La'olam, the word La'olam which Rashi uses might not mean La'olam Dafka. We know that when the Eved Ivri has his, after his ear gets pierced, but nothing to do with the piercing, it says Va'avodo Le'olam, he works up to the Yovel, which might only be a couple of years. But it says la'olam. La'olam means forever, but he's not working forever. So the word la'olam can have different terminologies. Also in Gemara Shabbos, Kuf Yud Alev, where it talks about tying a knot on Shabbos, and a kesha shel kayoma, she'enu matira la'olam, which you don't undo la'olam. And then you're chayav for tying this knot on Shabbos. But the Beis Yosef says there in Shin Zayin that it can mean just 1 month. If the knot is in situ for 1 month, that is called la'olam. So according to that, the Horos Nosner of Gestetner says that even a temporary kind of tattoo, which might only last, say, for a couple of years, would still be also min ha-Torah. And we're going to come to this, because there's a very important shaila which comes up about women's cosmetic surgery. And that might be a bit controversial. Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes in his Sefer Siach HaSodah a very long kuntros about tattoos. And he makes a sort of kitzah Shulchan Aruch about it at the end. He shows how it applies when one does it with any kind of utensil, needle or knife, even if it's not done the Shema Avodah Zarah. If it's done the Shema Avodah Zarah, he says there are two Isurim. There's Avodah Zarah and there's tattooing. And then there's the question of Kom Leib D'Rabbah Mineh, that you might be freed from the punishment of one because you're Chayav Misa on the Avodah Zarah. He does not think that the din applies to fingernails or teeth, min ha-Torah, because you can't really tattoo those properly. It's only anywhere on the body skin. And even if it's later erased, but it leaves a mark, that shows it has a permanence to it.
He says that the Isur,
any language, if it's in writing, And even if it's not the Shem Avodah Zarah, it's definitely Osud Rabbonon. That's the Rif and the Rosh. But all others will say it's Osud Min HaTorah. And he goes into this business of it's one person does it on another, how they are both Chayav. He does say it's allowed to do on animals to identify your flock. So the question comes up for Baal Tshuva. First of all, if a Baal Tshuva is embarrassed, should he erase the tattoo? Is there a din that he has to erase it since it was put there by Isur? He hasn't got to erase it. If he can erase it with laser surgery, there is now a method which there wasn't originally, all well and good, that's fine. And that's what Dain Weiss writes about in Minchas Yitzchok when he addresses this Shiloh about the tefillin. He says if possible it should be erased. What he says is that one should try to get laser surgery to erase this despicable illustration on one's arm. But if for any reason one can't, he says, use a tefillin which is the smallest size possible, which is still kosher, because the Gemara says that you can really get two bottom of tefillin on the arm in that box to put on the arm, and try and cover up the rest that it's not seen. But he says you do keep to the left arm. You don't then change. You don't change to the right arm. And he says this in Chelek Gimel, Simon Yud Aleph. And he was a world posek. He was in Manchester and then became the head of the Eidah Charedis based in Yerushalayim. But I did find another tshuva on this subject in the Shutz Betzel HaChochma, Rav Betzalel Stern. In Chelek Hei Simon Pei Aleph, he writes that the tefillin may not be put on that arm. He says it's also. He says it's just like not having a mezuzah in a place where people are undressed, Gemara Yomi Yud Aleph. And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch Harav at the end of Simon Mem Hei, which says, Osu lekanis betfilin lechedesh yeshom odomorum. It's forbidden to go into a room when you're wearing tefillin in a place where there is an undressed person. And he refers to a Chasam Sofer, which is in Chelek Vov Simon Zayin. The Chasam Sofer talks about if somebody puts a sign up over a toilet. There was once this Rosha who put a sign up over a toilet and wrote on it, Zeh Hashal Hashem Tzadikim Yavaruvo. A practical joke. And he wrote Hashem's name properly, and it's a Ganai. So the Chasam Sefer asks, can one erase Hashem's name if you cannot remove this sign? And the Chasam Sefer says, yes. He says, the erasing of Hashem's name is a mechikah l'shem shemayim. It is done to prevent a chilul Hashem taking place. And so the Chasam Sefer says that one does erase Hashem's name. And this leads then to the question into twos. If one has engraved in one's skin Hashem's name of Yud Kei Vod Kei, can you erase it? You're doing it with Hashem's name. And so because it was put there by Isur, because it was placed there, it shouldn't have been placed there at all, and it's a chilul Hashem that Hashem's name is tattooed in somebody's arm, then it is allowed to remove that name. That is a psak given in an interesting drasha by Rav Bakshi Doron, the former Sfardi chief rabbi of Israel, and he writes in Tchumin Kaf Beis that one should erase Hashem's name, and he says it's quoting the Darkei HaTshuva, Misrachei Karbi Min Adova Shechotobo. It's good for Baal Tshuva to do away with any memory of his past. It was not written L'Shem Kedusha. He quotes the Minchas Chinuch in Tovel HaMadzayin that it wasn't written Lishmo, like we write Hashem's name Lishmo in a Sefer Torah, and therefore one is not chayav for erasing it. It's true that the Chidosh says in the Bik HaYosef from the Pri Chodosh that one shouldn't in any circumstances erase Hashem's name. But he quotes from the Rashbat that it's Mutter because it was written Batos. It should have never been written like that in the first place. We know that there is a din that if a Min, an Abikoros, writes Hashem's name, like writes a Sefer Torah, one burns it. Yeah. If it's simply written by a guy, one buries it, goes into Geniza. But if it's written by those who are trying to tempt us away, like the missionaries, then it's a mitzvah to burn such a thing, even with Hashem's name. And he writes that, Rav Bakshi Doron, that when you erase Hashem's name in these circumstances, from the tattoo or from above the toilet, it should be done by a Jew. Don't ask a goy to do it. because to show how important it is, just like with Hilchas Shabbos, if one has to break Shabbos to save a life, it's better that it's done by a Jew in many circumstances than if it's done by a non-Jew. So as far as the tefillin on the tattoo is concerned, coming back to the Betzel HaChochma, he refers to that Chashem Sofer. He also says that such illustrations on one's arm can lead to bad thoughts when one is davening, and therefore it's offsur. But he doesn't give an actual solution. He doesn't say one should rather do it on the right arm, which he seems to imply, but he doesn't actually conclude that. We've got Dayan Weiss, who says one puts the tefillin in that place, and the other areas one is covering up.
Not giving us any classified...
Now, there isn't a lot of time left, but there's something which is very relevant, and that is, and it's really relevant to women, and I hope I don't cause any friction between husbands and their wives, but an interesting shaila which I came across, and there's a very long essay written about it by Rav Boach Shraga, Rav Yishlaim, in Tichumin, and that is the subject of cosmetic surgery, which women do, and they have something which is called permanent makeup, and they have something which is called semi-permanent makeup. Now, I don't know if in North Hendon you get these Heimischer advertisers put through your door, but I've got in front of me a copy from the Heimischer advertiser, which advertises semi-permanent makeup. Say goodbye to eyeliner, lip liner and mascara. And in brackets it says, micropigment, not tattoo. How reassuring. Excellent results, free consultation and demonstration with a bit of photograph and the phone number. There are a number of women who have come to the conclusion that because they can't put on makeup on Shabbos, or it doesn't last so well for when it's put on before Shabbos, and they spend a long time in front of the mirror putting on makeup, so why bother? Let's get this sorted out. Because although the permanent makeup is like a tattoo and it lasts forever, the semi-permanent makeup, it's not permanent, it only lasts for 3 years. And so the question is, can this be done la'alocha? Now everything I say today and in every shir is la'alocha v'loy l'maaseh, and personal queries have to be put before a reliable rabbinical authority describing one's circumstances. But Rav Kostetner discusses this in Naras Nosan. He quotes from this Rashi that la'olam doesn't really mean forever. He says la'olam can simply mean a long period of time, like we said with the Eved Ivri and we said with the knotting on Shabbos. And therefore, in his view, not only is this osur, but it's osur min ha-Torah. And I couldn't believe it, because my family are well acquainted with a certain woman who told us quite openly that she had this semi-permanent makeup done. And she knows many other Heimischer women who are doing it. And she says, well, everybody else. And it's done by a Heimischer beautician, a woman with a shaitel who is carrying out this practice in Hendon and Golders Green. Now, I don't want to put anybody out of business, Chas v'Shalom. I don't want to put anyone out of business, Chas v'Shalom. But this shaila is also addressed, not just by the Laharis Nosson, but also by the Shrago Meir Rav Schneebald, who was a Kohen Levi. Rav Schneebald, who was living in Stamazil, the rabbi of Vizhnitz, and in the eighth volume of his Tshuvas, Simon Mem Dalad, he discusses this shaila, although he concentrates more on the issue of scar removal, which is embarrassing after a wound, whether that can be done in the tattoo manner and as a kind of semi-permanent makeup. And he goes into the Rishonim and the Machlokas we discussed of whether it's letters only or whether it's also pictures, and what does permanent mean. And he comes to the view that permanence is permanent. La'olam means for always. And he talks about what they have done, which lasts for between 2 and 5 years. He says that it would be an Issadur Abbonon. All right, thanks. Well, it doesn't really help one, does it? It's still prohibited. But then he manages to stretch that where there is some sort of psychological anguish, where there's a refuah involved for healing a wound like removing a scar. He is leaning towards a heter for that. But he does not say anything about makeup. He only talks about hiding ugly scars, which can cause psychological anguish. So the article of Rav Boruch Shraga, he says he's actually asked this question about semi-permanent makeup to a number of leading world poskim. He asked Rav Vosna, who said osur. He asked Rav Eliashiv, who said osur. He asked Rav Fisher, who was the head of the Eid HaRedis Beis Din, Osur. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the son of a stipe, the Gaon, he said Osur. Rav Avadya Yosef said Osur. And Rav Heber of Star K in Baltimore also said Osur. So if any woman is considering having this semi-permanent makeup, it's a very serious shaila indeed. It's a chashash issur d'oraisa, and one should not hesitate in asking a question about it.
The person who puts the advert is over the favor.
Possibly.
You might not know.
There is...
There's a claim on page
10. I did somehow come across a tshuva issued by the Yerushalayim-based din, which included this Rav Baruch Shraga, who wrote into Chumin, and a woman came to the Yerushalayim-based din claiming her money back because she had this semi-permanent makeup done from another Haimish lady who told her it was all right. And so she felt that this was a fraudulent misrepresentation, and therefore she claimed her money, which was 1,200 Israeli shekels, she claimed the money back, and the case came before this Jerusalem-based din. And there's a very long psak given, which I have a copy of in front of me, but the conclusion is that all the world poskim are saying osur, but because of certain rules in Choshen Mishpat about buying things and selling things, if something's done b'shogeg, the psak of the Beis Din was she is not entitled to her money back. But the tshuva nevertheless points clearly into the direction of something which should not have been done in the first place.
Has somebody written to this lady and told her? Will you advertise?
Michael, would you like this?
I did discuss this with Rav Cohen Schlitter. So there is a problem here, a very serious shaila indeed.
Does it involve the other things?
What they do is they do eyeliners, they do mascara around the eyelids.
But if that's only you're talking about where they're putting dyes or something, but
yes.
if they're changing the face in any way. Cosmetic surgery.
Well, plastic surgery is another subject that Moshe Feinstein allows in certain circumstances and not in others.
Pigmentation.
But what they do is they have their lips made into a lipstick type colour, or it gets a deeper red when they put lipstick on top, or that they have a line marking the delineation between the white skin and the lips. And this woman who told me quite openly she had it done, she told me it hurts quite a bit. She suffers because the needles, they go into the skin, there are 14 needles at a time sometimes, and she, for 3 or 4 days afterwards, she suffers, she finds it awful. What makes you wonder why she bothers. And she and another woman were overheard by my wife at a chasna dinner discussing the side effects that they suffered from having it done. That for 6 weeks they were wearing sunglasses because they got all swelled up around their eyes. But we're not dealing today with side effects, we're just dealing with halachas.
We asked before about writing the odd telephone number on your hand, or the child receiving a little stamp at the theme park. There is a view of the Mari Perla which is brought down, who says one should not do such a thing, but that is a minority view. The Minchas Chinuch and other poskim allow one to write on the hand or make an ink marking on the hand which soon disappears. It is not a dignifying thing to do. It's not looked upon with any relish, but l'halacha, it's not a problem.
Just to end off, a very touching story I heard, a true story about a Baal Tshuva who had a rather despicable illustration on the lower part of his back, and he became very Hasidish. And was persuaded to come with to the mikveh every Friday afternoon. And in his embarrassment of what he had done on himself, he made sure he was well wrapped up. Made sure the towel was covering him completely, that others couldn't see what he had. But one day, Nebuch, the towel slipped. And it slipped to the floor, and there were a number of men there, quite a few get together for these dippings just before Shabbos. And he really felt embarrassed. And one elderly man came up to him and uncovered his shirt sleeve and showed him a numbered tattoo from concentration camp. And he said to him, "We've both come a long way, haven't we?" I've seen the tshuva actually written that somebody who has a tattoo from concentration camp should not remove it. It's a kiddush Hashem to leave it there, that people should see what the Nazis Yirach Shemom did to us. Anyway, so there you have a bunch of some very interesting shilas on a subject which doesn't come up really that often, but it's important that anyone who engages in these practices of semi-permanent makeup or whatever it is have to ask a personal shila before they engage in something which could be a complete issa daraisa. Thank you very much. Yes. One can remove tattoos. It's a laser surgery. It doesn't involve making a new tattoo. I don't know exactly how it's done, but I have looked on the web at tattoo removal, and they show illustrations how there is always a faint scar of the image left behind. However well they do it, something still remains.
At least it's not so obvious.
But it's not so clear.
Okay, so this gentleman or whatever, you might have been less embarrassed if that's
the case. I can't work out why I put them in. Yeah.